be all right. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Day by day. Well, now, if you really want it, listen to me, brother. Get down on your knees and pray. Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Don't you know? He's just there waiting to hear from you. Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Praise God, ladies and gentlemen. We are here today to call on the highest power of the universe to bring peace and prosperity upon his people. The God that we serve is a deliverer and a strong tower. He is a God of stability, a God of substance, a God of authority, and a God who can solve all of our issues. So today, establish your people with deliverance. Deliverance from the unemployment line. Deliverance from food stamps and welfare. Deliverance from the inner city housing and project living. Deliverance from drug addiction. Deliverance from social injustice. Deliverance from drive-by shootings. Deliverance from illiteracy and homelessness. Deliverance from racism and bigotry. Deliverance from hatred and violence. Deliverance from the doom of demonism. Deliverance from sin and seduction. Deliverance from helplessness and despair. Authenticate us with the principles of your power so that we can dwell in your power today.
You say you really need it. You can have it today. Have deliverance
right now.
If you think
you can have deliverance,
you can have deliverance.
Oh, right now,
right now.
You can have deliverance.
If you gotta have it,
oh, right now,
right now.
You can have deliverance.
You can have deliverance.
I am excited to introduce to you Deliverance Today Ministries. Our world is full of trouble, and we have reached a point where it is time to bring to the people of God the truth of God. We are headquartered in Shreveport, Louisiana, and are connected to churches worldwide. Each week, we desire to come into your life with a message of deliverance that will prepare you for heaven. We invite you to join our prayer line and zoom into a closer walk with God every morning from 6 to 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. We have health professionals, spiritual counselors, and Christian aid workers in Louisiana and Texas, and will also extend our resources to help you with social, spiritual, financial, and mental needs wherever you are.
Just what you say, and I shall do. Listen, how many really recognize that it's not what you want to do, but what the Lord wants you to do? If so, stand on your feet, look your neighbor in the eye and say, I shall do it.
We've been following for the last few weeks the theme of the woman at the well. And our message today is entitled, Facts About the Fountain. John chapter 4, verses 11 through 14. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself, and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I want to begin this message with a short illustration. A man on a camel rode through miles of sun-drenched desert, searching for some sign of life. His supplies were running low. When his camel died, now on foot, he desperately sought refuge from the heat, and most importantly, a source for water. Suddenly, he came across a vendor in the middle of the desert. Thank God I found you, the man cried. Please help me. I'm in dire need of some water. Well, said the vendor, I don't have any water. But would you like to buy one of these fine ties? What am I going to do with a tie? The man asked. That's what I'm selling, sir. If you don't like it, I can't help you. Frustrated even more, the man left the vendor and walked on for many more miles, praying each minute that he would find refuge from the scorching sun. His eyes squinted a bunch of times when he came across a restaurant in the distance. Unable to comprehend a restaurant located in the middle of the desert, he assumed the place was a mirage, but decided to check it out anyway. As he approached the door, his mouth opened in amazement, seeing that the place actually existed. The doorman stopped him before he entered. Excuse me, sir, the doorman said, but you can't come in here without a tie. Before we start, let's pray. Today, God, I'm without my tie. However, it is my earnest and fervent prayer that you will not judge me by the stupidity of me myself, trying to force you to supply my needs on my terms, but rather that you will help me to be humble enough to accept your terms. In Jesus' name, amen. In week one, we dealt with the conflict and prejudice that is a deterrent to salvation. Jesus was intent on salvation of this water carrier because it was his ultimate intention to get her to carry something more precious than water. In week two, we deal with contrast and comparison, how humans lose their focus on reality, trying to compare their experiences with others instead of focusing on Jesus. This woman was illiterate of the visitor sitting on the well, and it was this visitor who had a substance that would be revolutionary to her life. Jesus left Judea just to confront the Samaritan woman. He entered Sychar, a city of Samaria, both tired and thirsty from his journey. While sitting there, one of the events for which he had come into Samaria happened. He confronted this woman, this poor female water carrier, with the claims of the Messiah. She came to draw water, and he struck up a conversation by asking her for a drink of water. She was shocked, for the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. She inquired of Jesus why he would ask her, a Samaritan, for a drink. It was this question, this subject of water, that Jesus took and used to discuss one of the greatest truths of spiritual life, that the living water that she needed can be found, and to present the claims of God upon a life. It was here that this woman tried to limit Jesus by suggesting that he did not even possess a bucket. She did not see a rope. Therefore, she viewed his challenge a mere impossibility. The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water?" Here, the woman objects against the gracious suggestion which Christ gave her. Her mind could only grasp that this man has nothing with which to draw. In her mind, there was no bucket. In her mind, there was no rope. In her mind, with no bucket and no rope, there can be no water and no hope. But she did not realize, at his command, stars began to shine. Angels fold their wings. At his command, fire could not consume three Hebrews. In his command, lions could not eat Daniel. At his command, water was turned to wine. The lame walked, the dumb talked. Leprosy was loosed. The dead were resurrected. You see, Jesus was in control of the molecular structure of every atom and every proton, neutron, and electron. Jesus has the ability to be able to take nothing and make something out of nothing. Jesus had the ability to call forth water from this well and make it rise out of the well all by himself. Jesus has the ability to be able to stop the force of nature and make nature move at his will and his beck and call. Demons tremble at the sound of his voice. The elements melt with fervent heat at his power. Darkness becomes light. Day becomes dark. Whatever Jesus desires, he has the power. For the scripture says, all power in heaven and in earth belong to him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. It was Jesus who had control, and this woman needed to know that there is only one reason why water did not jump out of that well when Jesus says move. That's because divinity was wrapped up in the garb of humanity. It was only because the power of God rested while this man Jesus, the possessor of living water, the man who was 100% God and 100% man at the same time, he who took out a moment to give this water carrier a message that would transform her life, this man came to Jacob's well to show this woman that his power was greater than any power she had ever seen. First, she does not think him capable of furnishing her with any water. No, not this is this well that is just at her hand. She declared, "Thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." This she said, not knowing the power of Christ, for he who causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth, and he needs nothing to draw water from anywhere. But there are those who will trust Christ no further than they can see him, and will not believe his promise unless the means of the performance of it be visible. Pilate wanted to see a miracle. However, miracles don't make Jesus to be Jesus. He is God without miracles. He does not need to perform a miracle to be God. Jesus is not like us, and it is not as if he were tied to our methods and could not draw water without our buckets. She asked scornfully, "Whence hast thou this living water? I see not whence thou can have it." The springs of that living water which Christ has for those that come to him are secret and undiscovered. The fountain of life is revealed in Christ. Christ has enough water for us, though we cannot see from whence it has it. Secondly, she does not think it possible that he should furnish her with any better water than this which she could gather at this well. Her appeal is, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well? Thou hast nothing to draw with. And besides, art thou greater than our father Jacob?" What he spoke figuratively, she took literally. Nicodemus suffered from the same disease. We, as humans, tend to anthropomorphize God. We try to bring him down to our level. But Jesus is greater than this well, and Jesus is far greater than Jacob. Jesus confounded this Jewish leader with his discussion about the wind. Man may never see God or the works of God, but that God that does not factor out the presence of God or the power of God. This woman pays Jesus respect as she calls him sir or Lord, but she shows no respect to what he said. Now let's suppose the tradition is true and that Jacob himself and his children and cattle did drink of this well. The well shows several things: the power and providence of God as seen in the continuance of the fountains of water from generation to generation. Furthermore, the plainness of the patriarch Jacob. His drink was water, and he and his children drank of the same well with the cattle. This woman had knowledge of Jacob, and it was true, however, she was wrong in several things, as in calling Jacob father. She had no authority as a Samaritan to reckon themselves of the seed of Jacob. They were descended from that mixed multitude which the king of Assyria had placed in the cities of Samaria. What have they to do with Jacob? because they were the invaders of Israel's rights and the unjust possessors of Israel's lands. Only by this were they therefore the inheritors of Israel's blood and honor. How absurd was she to declare ancestral authority under these pretensions. She is wrong in claiming this well as Jacob's gift, because he did no more give it than Moses gave the manna. But today, we are prone to call the messengers of God's gifts the donors of the demons who grasp hold of them. And we look so much at the hand that these gifts pass through, and we forget the hand that they really come from. For every good and every perfect gift comes from Jesus. Jacob gave us this well to his sons, not to the Samaritans. Yet these who are considered Jewish outcasts, the church's enemies, not only usurp but monopolize the church's privileges. She was wrong in speaking of Christ as not worthy to be compared with our father Jacob. The one to whom she was speaking was not only greater than Jacob, but the one night by the river Jabbok, he wrestled with Jacob, and from that wrestling encounter, for the rest of his life, Jacob walked with a limp. Not only was he greater than Isaac, not only was he greater than Jacob, not only was he greater than Abraham, for he is the I am that I am. There is none who is greater than this man. The challenge facing this woman was one of limitation. The mistake that she makes is that she considers Christ limited because she is limited. One of the major flaws of fallen man is to believe that just because we cannot do something, we believe that if we cannot do it, then no one else can do it. While we are limited, Jesus is limitless. So many of us are captivated by the depth of the well. We cannot break the alcohol habit because the well is deep. We cannot break the addiction to drugs because the well is deep. We cannot break that bad relationship because the well is deep. We cannot break that hatred for our enemies because the well is deep. We cannot break that problem of stealing from God because the well is deep. We cannot break the love for the things of this world because the well is deep. We cannot break the habit of petty jealousy because the well is deep. We cannot witness for the Lord because the well is deep. We cannot break the lust for sexual immorality because the well is deep. Alcohol controls us because our well is deep. Drugs overwhelm us because our well is deep. That bad relationship consumes us because our well is deep. Hatred for our enemies dominates us because our well is deep. Stealing from God bewitches us because our well is deep. Love for the things of this world imprisons us because our well is deep. The lust for sexual immorality will destroy us because our well is deep. We began to suggest that it's impossible to stop drinking alcohol. We believe that it's impossible to overcome the drug habit. We are convinced that it is impossible to get out of this bad relationship. We are downtrodden by the grip of the bad relationship. We believe that it is impossible to be free. And we have felt financially strapped with the thought that we cannot make it financially without stealing from God. We are trapped by the notion that the things of this world are a necessity. We proclaim that it is impossible to break free from the control that sex has over our personal impossibility. That is because we are only drinking from Jacob's well. But Jesus has a message for you, and that is a message of deliverance. For while the devil proclaims it is impossible, the word declares to the penitent, oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Oh, yes, you can. Jesus frees us. If only we would grasp hold of his power. If only we would believe. If only we would trust in him. He can and will deliver us. Our well is not an impossibility. Jesus makes it possible.
If you've enjoyed this message by Pastor Jonathan McCautry, please reach out to us. We would love to hear from you. Call at 318-658-6216. Email us at deliverancetodayministries@gmail.com. Write us at P.O. Box 5452, Bossier City, Louisiana, 71171. This is Ruth Ann Thompson at Deliverance Today Ministries, inviting you to join us and become a faithful pledge supporter so we can reach others through this radio ministry.
Before we leave the air today, I'd like to make a special appeal for those of you who believe in the power of prayer. Please join us on our Zoom prayer line tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time. Zoom number 504-535-3921. There is no ID number. Come and pray with us each day. Good day. God bless you.